All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. My name is Tom Arcino, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts, check them out. Good morning. It's Saturday, May 22nd, 2021. The first day, excuse me, I'm trying to get my everything together here. First day after, the day after the masks came down, and from all that I gather, it seems like it was somewhat of a success. Or, I mean, you know, I don't know if it's a success, but I had no hitches in my world yesterday because of it, thank goodness. It was very nice. I went to our local grocery store and did not wear my mask, and I think I was the only person in there not wearing the mask. But to each his own, I don't care. I mean, I care about others, but I got to get past it. I got to move through it. And so far, so good. I was excited. What's interesting is to see kind of the world start coming back. And, you know, it's weird. Some of the things that start coming back are a little bit of rudeness. You know, people are a little busy, you know, they have their agenda. So, you know, like I said yesterday, and it was funny, I saw several people posting stuff, you know, it's about being patient, thoughtful, kind, considerate. This isn't the time for me to be pointing out people's faults. I mean, that would probably be pointing out my own fault. So I'm going to avoid it. Just be grateful that we have gotten this far. And, you know, here we are. So I was, I was thinking, you know, a relationship with a higher power. It's such a sticky, sticky wicket, right? You know, one of my favorite things that I've received or has been opened up to me is a relationship with a higher power. And I don't know if it's the relationship with the higher power or understanding my first initial thoughts of a relationship with the higher power. This transition that's taken place in my life, you know, I was the kid that would call, you know, I would call my dad, do you know the number for Pizza Hut? He's like, I can look it up. And I'd say, okay, I can wait. You know, that was me. Just inconsiderate of others. I had no clue, right? I was a spoiled kid. And spoiled is a funny word because, you know, if you look at like fruit, you know, fruit has, or I love to use the avocado as an example because an avocado is fucking no good, right? It's no good to anybody until this small window shows up, and then it's great to everything, and then all of a sudden the window's gone and the avocado is no good to, I mean, you can make something out of it, I guess, in the end. When I love going to the grocery store and you can, avocados are so abundant, right? They have these giant tubs of fucking tons of avocados, and like they're no good, you know, they're all hard, and you know, you can buy the avocado and take it home and, you know, kind of watch it. And then hopefully when you're ready to eat it, it's ready to be eaten. Everything comes together. But, you know, it's pretty much no good until it's ripe. And then in that small window, it's the most amazing, delicious thing there is. And then once that small window starts to close, you know, it's not as delicious. But it's like it becomes spoiled. And that's how I was. And it is, I can tell you as a parent, oh, creaky. I can tell you as a parent, it's tough to not spoil your kids. It's a fine line. And it all kind of goes around to that thing. Like, are you happy? If you're happy, I'm probably doing a bad job. If you're not happy, I'm probably doing a good job. It just may not feel like it or look like it, but in the end, we're still trying to build character. And It's tough. I know as a father of three kids, you know, there's me, there's the kids, and then there's the right thing. And I want to appear or make, you know, when my kids happy or when my kids, you know, are around me, they love me because I'm tough on them. Wrong. They love me because I spoil them. Right. And kids, I think today are much more spoiled than they were when I was a kid. Back when I was a child, there was just a few of us rotten people. And now it seems like most of these kids, you know, and no offense, anybody, I mean, I'm sure we all are super proud of our non-spoiled children. But I mean, listen, we got it pretty good. Right. But just trying to balance it out between giving them what they want and knowing in the back of our mind that we are absolutely spoiling these kids. So it's, you know, it's tough. Because in the end, there's nothing worse than a fucking spoiled piece of fruit or a spoiled vegetable. And honestly, when something spoils, man, then you got the next term, spoiled rotten. And man, there's nothing worse than something that's spoiled to the state of being rotten. You can't stand it. Get it away from me. Run with it. Run to the trash. And sometimes, you know, I don't know if you'd ask my friends when I was a kid, they would tell you that me and my brother were spoiled. And we were, but looking back on it, compared it to the way the kids and the things that they have today, we weren't that spoiled. But I also think that a lot of kids back then just didn't have much. I mean, if you were a kid, you know, I was born in 68, so if you grew up in those times, you know, everything was really, you know, based around your birthday or Christmas. You know, if you got a tooth that you lost and the tooth fairy came, it was 50 cents, you know, and I know that's, it's not the same and things have gone up and but you know, I'll put 10, 20 bucks under one of my kids' pillows if they lose a tooth. Probably 10 bucks. 10 bucks. I didn't even get an allowance of 10 bucks, but I guess that's tooth fairy inflation. Or we just can't help but spoil our kids a little bit. My wife texted me the other day. She said, "Tell Teresa to clean her room. And if she starts doing it on a regular basis, we'll start giving her an allowance of $5. And my daughter says, "I don't need any money. I got plenty." Boom, boom, set when that Snoop Doggy Dog music comes in and the sunglasses come sliding over. I'm like, okay. But that's the way it is. Kids got a lot of money. Shit, my son Sam, where his computer is, there's a $50 bill laying there that he got from his birthday or somewhere. Just laying there. Like, if I had 50 bucks when I was a kid, I'd been like, oh, hallelujah. You know, 50 bucks back then would have been amazing. But, you know, I remember getting a bike for Christmas. I had a BMX bike that we got. I think that was the thing that made my friends think we were spoiled. But we got it at Christmas. But it was a nice bike. It was a red line. It was cool. And if you ask my... And it's still, you know, it's a weird, you know, because as you grow up and your parents grow up and you start, and I feel this starting to kind of happen now with my older son, but, you know, you grow up and then you look back and you kind of question your parents' like behavior because, you know, your parents are like, they do no wrong. But then you look back and you're like, wait a minute. That was a lot of drinking you guys were doing back then, or smoking cigarettes, or giving us drinks of your beers, or giving us cigarettes. I always still wonder why my mom gave us cigarettes at 13 and 14 years old. I mean, she's like, yeah, go ahead, you know? And I wouldn't do that. I would not do that today. Giving us sips of their beer, giving us sips. I think we've all had those parents, right? But I wouldn't. Luckily, we don't have alcohol in our house, but I don't know. Actually, if I was drinking and I was like, you know, successfully sort of drinking, I guess maybe I'd give my kids a sip. But I don't know. But there was a lot of things like that that my parents... I mean, we used to sneak out of the house at night. And we would come home when the sun started to come up. My parents slept all night. Like freaking champions. They went to bed. We would sneak out. We would, We even, you know what? I hate to even admit this because I'm a little embarrassed, but we would push the car down the driveway in neutral and start it up, and we would drive that car all around the neighborhood. Like nutcases. My parents are just sleeping away. I wish I could sleep like that. I'm up all night, all through the night. And I would definitely know if, and every time I get up, I just kind of make sure everybody's good. I don't open doors, but I'm pretty sure they're there. But it's just such a, you know, and then I talked to my dad the other night. He was over, and it's a touchy subject because, you know, I don't want to be, I'm not a victim of growing up. You know, I was an adopted kid. It was a tough, I can't imagine what that's like to be a parent of adopted children. And, you know, because you already think they're not going to like you, right? They're already going to pull the, you're not my real parent card, which we did. My brother was great at it. I didn't really pull it too much. But, you know, so you already got a bunch of shit piled up against you. So you're just doing the best you can. But, you know, and I look back and part of me is like has a little bit of resentment because, you know, they did spoil us, you know. And like I said, I'm not a victim of it. But I do, like the other day, I'm like, you know, you guys spoiled us so badly. Why, you know, that was your mother. You know, it's always somebody else. And I'm not saying isn't accountable, but on this one, he's like, that was your mother. You know, I didn't want to do it, but your mother, you know, because your mother grew up poor. And, you know, my mom grew up, and she was very poor. Her dad worked on the railroad, the railroad line, and, you know, he was gone for weeks at a time, and they just didn't make any money, obviously, back then. It was like four kids to a room. I mean, it was the complete opposite of the life that we have today, you know? I mean, there was, you know, barely had electricity. My mom's mother struggled finding work, you know, bounced around a little bit between some different gentlemen. And, you know, I think my mom's dad had passed away early. And then my grandmother, you know, had a few different gentlemen, I guess. And then my mom got sent off to different places. It was just such a weird time back then, you know. And so my dad always says that's why my mom spoiled us. And at the time, I was like, great. I remember we got a waterbed. Had a waterbed. I don't even think, do they even do waterbeds anymore? It was a big deal. Had the waterbed, the BMX bike, pretty much everything we wanted. But, excuse me, it seems like everything that we would get would be at Christmas or our birthdays. You know, where now, I mean, we're getting stuff for our kids all the time. Birthdays and Christmases are now just a reminder for me that I give my kids too much shit during the year. It's like, damn it, I give my kids a lot of stuff. And so what does spoiled look like today compared to what spoiled looked like back then? I don't know. You know, all of our, it seems like we're creating a lot of characters. And but, you know, I think we figured it out. I mean, I was super spoiled. I wouldn't say we got everything we wanted, but we got a lot. We got enough to our friends noticed, right, and pointed out, you're spoiled. But, you know, you work it out. You figure it out. And hopefully on the other side, you're not too much of a, you know, piece of shit because you're so freaking spoiled.
High or low, where'd you go? Are you stuck in the middle of spectral invisible ghosts? I'm here juxtaposed.
said, my friend, don't know where or when one of us left the other behind. Divisions came and troubles multiplied. Incisions made by scalpel blades of time. My altered perception's unclear. Please interfere. Sadness comes with it, a sea of tears. Would some love be best had it not appeared? Is this you? Here I stand. Recollections of pain, self-neglecting again. Like you, I keep it in. Thought you found a game where you could win. Yeah, it's all vivisection in the end. Cool.
Funny to have that conversation with my dad about that, because, you know, I, as a parent, for some reason, I'm completely on board with not spoiling my kids. I'm constantly looking at the effects of too much and too little, and happiness, and what is happiness, and you know, my kids have always, and luckily, you know, it's worked out, but, you know, it could have easily not worked out. But, you know, I've, and really only one third the way through, because my older son, David, I've always been like, listen, I'm not helping you. I am not helping you. Because if I'm helping you, there's other things that are going on, like, you know, what's it doing for me? How am I feeling about this? How am I feeling about your success? How am I playing a role in it? And that's what my parents did. When I would come home at work and I just didn't want to do it. You know, you have, or I have, like, you know, you have the path of life, and then, you know, a person like me has a ton of exit, you know, to exit out of the path of life for help. You know, when you're going down the turnpike and you got, you know, it's funny, but the turnpike's a great example, because, you know, you have a few exits that can help you. Whether it's eating, or, you know, gas, or motels, or, you know, places to stay. But, you know, you manage yourself because of the fact that, you know, they're not that many. Right? You know that you can't, this is, you know, broad brush example, but you can't drive 100 miles an hour because you got to preserve your gas for when it's time to get off to get more gas. But in my life, I had all these exits. Oh, gas in 5 gas in 10 feet, gas in 10 feet, gas in 10 feet, food in 10 feet. You know, I never worried. You know, I didn't plan. I didn't care. I always knew there was a out. And that's being spoiled. And, as I would grow up, you know, I wasn't really fit for the world. You know, because when times got tough, I looked for an exit ramp. I always looked for a help. So when my oldest son, David, was growing up, I was like, dude, I'm not helping you. Now, listen, There was a couple times where we had to, I had to help him. But you know, if you're raising children these days, you know that the they call it new math and all these different things. But I think part of that has been put in place to eliminate us helping. Because we will help. I mean, parents are just, we can't stand to see our poor children suffer. I can't stand to see you worry. Those tears coming out of your eyes. I told him, I'm not helping you. You either figure it out. And I said, and honestly, David, if I'm having to help you, where did you drop the ball? Because that's the way it always was with me. I didn't pay attention. My biggest problem in school was I never went. I was a ditcher. You could ditch back in those days. You can't do it now. You're not on the campus in 5 minutes. Phones and texts are going off. But back in my day, you could skip school. I mean, I skipped a ton of school. So first of all, I didn't show up. So there would usually be, my life was always, especially middle school and high school, was especially high school. But it was always like skipping school, lying, getting caught, trying to catch up, not understanding, having to have my parents help. Everything's fucked. I am at this point a fucking character, a cartoon character, right? And I didn't want to see that for my sons and daughter. So I tell David, I'm not helping you. I said, you either need to, what's more, and I would say this, what's more important to me that you are able to go to your teacher and have a conversation. You're able to go to your teacher and say, listen, I didn't really pay attention. Or I don't care. Or I whatever. But something happened that didn't allow you to pay attention. And I want you to learn how to be honest about that. And I want you to learn how to be honest about having the conversation about saying, hey, listen, I didn't pay attention. I need help. Instead of coming home, me figuring it out, putting it together, and sending you back to school, and now you've become a character. Dun-dun-dun, I've done it. All behind the scenes of, you know, your father and mother have had to help you and do it all, basically because we end up doing it for them. And then you can't, then you grow up and you can't do anything for yourself. It's fucking pathetic. It's sad. And that's how my life was. And it's weird. You know, I can't blame everything because I will say the main character in all of that scene was me. And which has been fine because I can use me as an example of the exact thing not to do. You know, I started this off about talking about getting sober and, you know, the relationship with a higher power. And this is, you know, these are kind of the things that, you know, you have to turn over. You have to pray about it. And these are the things that I share with my kids as they, you know, face different things and they're worried and stressed out. And I say, listen, why don't we recognize it and say it out loud? Dear Lord, these things are too big. I'm turning them over. My shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning them over. Simple, humble little moments. You know, it's a trip. You know, everybody's woke up, right? We're all woke. And you know who's the most woke is the kids. And my son, David, at 15, he is the all woke up. And, you know, he was at work and there were some kids there working. They were using the N-word. And he's like, telling him, you can't use that word. That word's not for you. You know? And he's lecturing to me about not being able to use the N-word or the R-word or, you know, all these things that are, you know, are unacceptable. And I told him last night, I go, David, I'm going to tell you right now, at 52, I've never been able to use the N-word. Okay, this isn't new. The N-word is not a word that I couldn't use it. I guess I could, didn't want to. That word has been a bad word ever since I've been born. You know, the word retarded, you know, you can't use that word. Of course you can't. You couldn't use it back then. You know? Fag. All these bad words now that you can't use. You couldn't use them really back then either. But now people are associating with things that, you know, like television shows and I told my son, this is about money. This wokeness, right? This cancel culture. these culture vultures. This is about money. You know, if somebody doesn't like somebody about something about somebody, and this person makes money, they're going to go after them. And they're going to go after them and say about things that have already been in place for at least 52 years. You know, I hate the N-word. I hate that it feels like it stops us from moving forward. And then I'm actually wondering if do we even want to move forward. I don't even know. I mean, until that word goes away, you know, like I've said in the past, it's like going to see a cancer doctor and having a cigarette on the way. It's defeating the purpose. But that's for a different podcast. All right, let's do a reading, and I got to go to work. I got nothing to worry. I'm not worried about anything today. So this reading shouldn't really matter. I cracked open my thumb. This is the weirdest thing. My thumb cracked open on the end, like from dry skin. And it looks like a giant gash. And oh my God, the fucking thing is killing me. It's like a paper cut, but like a giant piece of paper cut me open. All right, daily reflections. I'm not going to predict what this might help me with because I really feel good today. The fact the mask came off yesterday has been a big deal for me. All right. Step one. Ooh, my favorite. May 22nd. Step one. The first word of the first step. 12 steps, 12 traditions, page 21. When I was drinking, all I could ever think about was I, or me. Such painful obsessions of self, such soul sickness, such spiritual selfishness bound me to the bottle for more than half my life. The journey to find God and to do His will one day at a time began with the first word of the first step, we. There was power in numbers. There was strength in numbers. There was safety in numbers. And for an alcoholic like me, there was life in numbers. If I had tried to recover alone, I probably would have died. With God and with another alcoholic, I have divine purpose in my life, and I have become a channel for God's healing love. Yeah, that's a big deal. I've talked about that before, and whatever I've talked about, I'm sure I got from AA, so nothing I speak of is original. But, you know, the awakening of the first step and those first two words, I love the first four words are a big deal, but the first word is a big deal. That's why when I was talking about that guy who was kind of made his own steps, and he says, step one, yeah, I'm fucked up. Yeah, there's no getting better when it's I. You know, I is what got us here. Me is what got us here. We is what will get us out. We admitted, you know, I is a self-centered lifestyle. We is about humility. And when I say we admitted, you know, that was the first humble thing I'd probably done. And, you know, that's a big deal. All right. I hope everyone has a great day. Talk to you later. Bye. High or low, try again. She fell off the altar of vision. You caught her but then. Oh, what caught you in red? I wish it was not you that she had. Selfish navigation with no will. Where'd you sleep? Can I find a deeper connection in the face of rejection? I'm trying. I'm trying. Evidence in the echoes of your mind. Try one last time. Could all use a savior from human behavior sometimes.
kids are all right. The queen of collections took your